I want to turn back to the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians. I've been slowly working my way through and repeating some of the same basic concepts, the central core points of the Christian faith, dealing with salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And today we come to yet another series of points that Paul makes in the fifth chapter of the letters to the church in Galatia. Paul writes in chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, "Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law." Are you led by the Spirit? Are you living your life informed, empowered, and inspired by the Holy Spirit of God? Or are you trying to get things done by your own flesh, by your own abilities, by your own power, by your own strength? We generally like to take our cue from Scripture, like today's passage from Galatians, and focus on the works of the flesh, the racy ones, the ones that reflect our worst human failings. And that's a fairly good idea, for if we try to live our lives by our own desires, empowered by our own objectives and our own sense of right and wrong, then we get not what God wants, but what we want. Let's take a look at this list of the works of the flesh. It's an interesting list. My translation here reads, "Fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, and carousing." What a fun-sounding list! First one. Fornication. The Greek word is porneia. It's the word from which we get the word pornography. And it literally means a perverse desire to pervert a good gift, human sexuality, to a false, wrong end, an end other than God's will. Impurity, licentiousness. That sounds like a nice, thick sin, doesn't it? Licentiousness. Asalageia in Greek, and it means lacking moral discipline or ignoring legal restraint, especially in sexual conduct. It also means having no regard for accepted rules or standards. Licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, pharmakia is the word for sorcery in the Greek. Interesting, the word from which we get pharmacology. Pharmaceuticals, drugs. Enmities, strife. Jealousy, anger, quarrels. Dissensions, factions, heresies, or aresios in the Greek. What a fascinating list. Envy, drunkenness, and carousing. That word carousing. What is carousing? Actually, it means to engage in boisterous, drunken merrymaking, to drink excessively. Sounds like a great big party, doesn't it? What's the common thread through all of these works of the flesh? Well, we've got sex. We've got false worship. We've got relying on something other than God in sorcery. Enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, and factions. Sounds like the church, doesn't it? Envy, drunkenness, and carousing. I mean, it's a whole list of things, but what's the common thread through all of them? Self-will. Self-importance. Self-centeredness. It's the self, my friends. the desire to have your own way, to do it your own way, that awful, horrible Sinatra song, "I did it my way," is reflected right here in the way in which most people live their lives. I did it my way. It doesn't matter who I hurt. It doesn't matter what other people think. It doesn't matter what God thinks. If it feels good, do it. Attitude. That's what we see reflected here in this list of the works of the flesh. I could preach a sermon on each of these and show how each one flows from our desire to have our own way and do our own thing and be our own master and depend upon ourselves and be self-reliant and in charge and control of my own life. Each one of these eventually flows from that internal desire to do it yourself. To do what? To live your life according to your own will, according to your own interest. Now, there is a hard, large piece of passage here that Dina didn't read between chapter 5, verse 1, and then through the rest of the passage where we picked up. And I want to pick up parts of that today. What? We heard a little bit about the works of the flesh and a list of what they look like, but seated deeper than just those outward acts and those outward sins is indeed that desire to do it your own way, to have your own will be that which guides your life, to do it yourself. And that reflects a desire that is also true in the religious life, a desire to save yourself, a desire to abide by the works of the law and save yourself, a desire to be good, to look good, to have other people say, "Wow, he's a great Christian. Wow, she's a really good spiritual person." A desire to be noticed for your ability to approximate God's will in the law of Moses. And that was a problem in the early church. In the early church, you had Jewish Christians who were involved in the religious life of the church. They knew Jesus, they accepted Jesus as the Messiah, and they worshiped Jesus as the Son of God, God incarnate in human flesh, the Messiah, and indeed as the completion of the Jewish life, but they did not stop being Jews. They still rested on the Sabbath day, which was Saturday. They still abstained from eating food, certain foods like pork and shellfish and steak with blood in it, and if they were alive today, cheeseburgers. No pepperoni pizza if you're a Jew. No sausage. Oh, I'm making myself hungry. You know, that Gerald, I could not have ever been a Jew. I like bacon too much. And they had a problem with certain kinds of food. And the law made it very clear. You didn't eat those certain kinds of food if you were a Jew. And the earliest Christians were Jews who were Christians. And so when Gentiles started coming into the church, they came in without the baggage, without the background, without the cultural accoutrements of the law. And they came in eating bacon and eating chickens that had been strangled and still had blood in them, and eating catfish. Caught a lot of catfish on the fishing trip this week. And eating sausage and all sorts of other food that the Jews aren't allowed to eat. And the Jews were scandalized by this. They were upset by this. And some of the Jews said, "Okay, if you want to be a Christian, Gentile, if you want to be a Christian, fine. But you have to adopt certain Jewish practices in order to be a Christian." And this is what the party of James, the legalistic party of the early church in Jerusalem, was saying to the Christians out in Galatia and in Greece. They were saying, "Okay, you want to be a Christian? Fine. We welcome you in. You worship Jesus. You accept him as your Lord and Savior. But you must also be a Jew." And for men, I'm sorry, guys, But women have it easy. We men must sign that pledge card in blood. That's what it says here in the book of Galatians, pretty much. Paul says, listen, I, Paul, am telling you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no benefit to you. Now, in case you missed it, once again I testify to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obliged to obey the entire law. Huh? The symbol for membership in the Jewish community for men was circumcision. The symbol for membership in the covenant community of faith, in the covenant community of the people of Moses, in the chosen family of God, back in the first century, that symbol was circumcision. And if you were not circumcised, you were not a member. And if you were an early Christian, a Jewish Christian, you automatically expected that new Christians would take upon themselves that biblical, it is biblical, symbol of membership in the community of faith, the community of Moses, the community of Abraham, circumcision. Yep. And so they started to require circumcision of Gentile converts. And the churches in Galatia were being bothered and upset, and understandably so, guys. Because these Gentile converts to Christianity were being told, okay, Paul gave you the good news about Jesus. Now we got to give you the bad news. You've got to be circumcised, men, in order to be really a Christian. In order to be a real Christian. I mean, yes, salvation comes by grace through faith. But you continue in your Christian walk by obeying the law and getting circumcised. And Paul says that if your Christian life is going to be made perfect by getting circumcised, men, then you got to obey the whole law and not just circumcision. All of it. And it ain't just the Ten Commandments. It's not just the dietary regulations. Those are hard enough. But all the purity regulations and the sacrificial law and everything you'll have to obey. If you are going to be saved by obeying the law, if you're going to be sanctified by obeying the law, if you're going to continue in your Christian walk by obeying the law, then you're going to have to obey all of it. Perfectly, completely. Not just a little bit here and a little bit there by cutting a little bit off of yourself, but all of it. Every last bit. Women, you don't get off any easier. You're going to have to cook kosher. Drain that meat of blood, and no medium steaks. And let the blood drain out of that chicken. And no shrimp. And be careful about the dairy products. No cheeseburgers. You cannot cook meat with milk. Can't be done. Makes it a hard time to be Italian and a Jew too, doesn't it? My friends, the point is, the early church, the Jewish Christian church, was talking to Gentile Christians and saying, you got to have on the outside certain external observable features in order to really be a member of the community. Men, you got to be circumcised, and you can't be eating unkosher food. And Paul says, if you're going to be depending upon circumcision for your salvation, you got to obey the whole law, not just little bits here and little bits there, but all of it. I, Paul, am telling you that if you let yourself be circumcised, Christ will be of no benefit to you. Once again, I testify to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obliged to obey the entire law. You're either saved by grace and sanctified by grace or by the law. You can't have a little bit here and a little bit there. A little bit of grace to make it easier. And a little bit of law to make it look good. No. It's all grace or all law, Paul says. You who want to be, and to prove the point, you who want to be justified by the law have cut yourselves off from Christ. Interesting mental and metaphorical image. Circumcision and cut yourself off from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit by faith, we eagerly await for the hope of righteousness. We are not made righteous by works. We're not made righteous by what we do and don't do. We're made righteous by faith, resting in God's grace. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. The only thing that counts is faith working through love. Faith made effective through love. Faith applied through love. Faith in action in love. In other words, men, Jewish Christian men, if you're circumcised, great, wonderful. Gentile Christian men, if you're circumcised, not circumcised, great, wonderful. Either isn't going to save you. Women, if you cook unkosher, it's okay. Amen. Thank you, Carol. Hallelujah. Make that bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich. Make that sausage pizza, Dina. I'm coming over for lunch. Can I get an amen? It doesn't matter. Salvation is by faith. Righteousness is by faith. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and we continue in our Christian walk by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. We continue in this walk the same way we began. We are not saved by grace through faith and then have to, well, take upon ourselves all the outward trappings of being a Christian. No. If God wants us to have those trappings, He gives them to us. If God wants us to live and obey the law, then He gives us the Spirit to enable obedience to the law. Not externally, but internally. You are running well, Paul says. You're running your faith journey well. Who prevented you from obeying the truth? The truth about salvation by grace through faith and sanctification by grace through faith. Such persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. It's not coming from Jesus. It's not coming from the Holy Spirit. It's not coming from me. It's coming from those people who are trying to convince you that you got to save yourself. A little yeast leavens the whole batch of dough. It just takes a little bit of works righteousness to ruin the whole Christian life. I am confident about you, Paul wrote to them. I'm confident about you in the Lord that you will not think otherwise, but whoever it is that is confusing you will pay the penalty. And then we come to verse 12. One of the hardest verses for someone like me to preach on, especially in mixed company. So I printed out a bunch of copies, different translations of verse 12. Galatians chapter 5, verse 12. The NRSV, the one I've been using. I wish those who unsettle you would castrate themselves. You don't believe me? Look it up in your Bible. King James Version, I would they were even cut off which trouble you. Well, that kind of makes it soft, doesn't it? The New American Standard Bible, I wish that those who are troubling you would even mutilate themselves. The NIV, as for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. The Revised English Bible, those agitators had better go the whole way and make eunuchs of themselves. The New Jerusalem Bible, I would wish that those who are unsettling you would go further and mutilate themselves. The word apokopto in Greek means to chop off. And what Paul is simply saying here is, if you believe that circumcision will make you righteous, then really make yourself righteous. And not just circumcise, but get rid of all of it. Man, that just kind of makes you sit there, doesn't it? That's in the Bible, my friends. Paul is being very clear. If you think you can save yourself, if you think you can make yourself righteous by an outward, visible, external act of will worship and willful action, if you think you can make yourself righteous by the works of the law, well, if a little bit is good, a whole lot must be better. My friends, he's being absurd for a purpose. Salvation comes by grace through faith. The works of the flesh flow from that desire to get it done yourself, to have that external observable feature about you that others will look at and say, oh, wow, how wonderful he is, how wonderful she is, how great they are as Christians. And it can lead straight to those works of the flesh that we listed earlier. All of those works of the flesh are seated in the self, and the desire to get your own way, to have things done your own way. My friends, are you empowered by the works of the flesh? Are you desiring to have that external features that other people can look at and say, wow, how wonderful he is. Wow, how wonderful she is. Is it the external that makes you righteous? Is it the external that saves? Is it obeying the law or a caricatured thumbnail little sketch of what we want to obey from the law that saves us? Or is it grace flowing through our lives by faith in Jesus Christ that saves? Are you living in the Spirit? That's the fundamental question. Or are you living in the flesh? Are you trying to have your own way on your terms, by your schedule, with your objectives and your interests being principal and paramount? Or are you living by the Spirit and allowing the Spirit of God to move through you and transform you and empower you to live the Christian life that God wants you to live? What are the works, the outward expressions, the manifestations of the Spirit, my friends? That's a little further on in the letter to the Galatians. By contrast, he wrote in chapter 5, verse 22, by contrast, the fruit of the Spirit, the result of the Spirit, the outworkings of the Spirit's presence in your life, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Wow, what a list. What a list. What is common amongst this list? If the first list had the self and the interests and desires of the self as being principal amongst them, what's principal here in the fruit of the Spirit, the outworking of the Spirit in our lives? Let me read the list again. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What's common here? Others. Exactly. Others, as in our fellow Christians. Others, as in the other, God. And the importance of realizing that we are members of a community of faith, a body of Christ, called to live by faith, resting in God's grace. Each one of these elements, each fruit of the Spirit we have listed here, this overwhelming flow that comes from God and manifests itself in these ways, is typified by God's grace, which empowers love, empowers joy, empowers peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, and does so to and for and with others. Empowered by the other, by God. How are you empowered? In which are you living? Are you living in the flesh? Or are you living in the Spirit? The Spirit desires to be empowered in your life. The Spirit desires to move through your life and, working by your faith, produce this fruit. Each one of these elements, which is present and active in your life. If you look in your life and you see enmity, strife, jealousy, dissensions, anger, then in those areas where you see those things, you know the flesh is ruling. But if you look in your life and you see love, peace, patience, kindness, ruling and active, then you can know that the Spirit is active in your life. Well, if I don't see what I want, if I see all the bad stuff and none of the good stuff, or mostly bad stuff and very little good stuff, what do I do? How do I get this into me? And some people would then start saying, well, you just got to behave right and act good and obey the law. No, that's circumcision, my friends. What we need is, as John Wesley said in one of his most powerful sermons, we need a circumcision of the heart. An internal action of God drawing us into the family of faith. An internal action of God empowering us to patience, peace, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. Love. Not as something that we, well, gosh. I don't really want to love you, but I guess I have to. No. If that's the way in which we act, if that's how we feel about it, then we're engaging in self-circumcision, friends. No. Allow the Holy Spirit of God to move through you and empower you and enable you to live by faith. And when we live by faith and not by the flesh, then the fruit of the Spirit flows naturally. Not our nature, God's nature. It flows through God's nature, naturally through us. We cannot not love. We cannot not be patient. We cannot not be kind when the Holy Spirit of God flows through us. If you look in your life and you see today all those works of the flesh, and if you look in your life and you see that the self and the interests of the self are more powerful than the fruit of the Spirit, my friends, the answer is simple. Turn over to God that part of yourself you've been keeping from Him that's causing you to go your own way and do it my way. Turn over to God that bit of yourself that you've been keeping from Him, and allow the Spirit of God to generate fruit in you in those very areas where now you see simple works of the flesh. You cannot save yourself. You cannot be good. Oh, yeah, sure, you can approximate an external standard of a selected list of proper behaviors. We teach people to be good by doing that. Okay, here you got your list. You can do this, you can do this, you can do this, but you can't do that, and 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 you can't. Always more can'ts than cans in that list of how you're supposed to act. That may be good morals, that may be good behavior, but it has nothing to do with salvation and has nothing to do with righteousness. Salvation and sanctification comes by grace through faith. Turning over to God that part of your life you've been keeping Him out of, and allowing the fruit of the Spirit to flow through you and out from you in those areas that you've been jealously keeping and circumcising in your life. My friends, we cannot save ourselves. We cannot be righteous ourselves. Only through the grace of God can we truly be saved. Only through the grace of God can we know the real presence of Jesus in our lives. Only through the grace of God, empowered by faith, can we have eternal life. Give God the glory and God all the praise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And let the people of God say, Amen. Amen.